So I wanted, another thing I wanted to mention is that I don't know how many folks have data in Epic, but I was in Epic the other day in my chart, and there's a little spot where I saw where I could export a CCD of my own information, and I went in and I exported my own visit from a recent encounter and looked at the XML, and of course, it's all really curious. But it's really fascinating to see what's actually in your own record that you are familiar with, and it's like, what is this arthritis in there? Some med student must have been in the corner tapping stuff in while I was, you know, have a family history, but not me, and it was. So anyway, if it's a great way to self-educate is go in and see what's in your own record. Okay, so we're going to talk about evaluation of content to be included in a case report. In this case, we were interested in the initial case report. Thanks to Shu and Sophie Janes, my niece, and Denisha for helping with this study that we just did on a fly. Did on the fly, whatever. Not on a fly. Okay, so you can tell that I'm punchy. This is like 2 days of... Okay, so I want to illustrate the... there's different data flows, different content that's needed at different point in time. We are talking about not ELR, but case reports, and in the position statements, which is the top green one. The color doesn't work. Yeah. So in the CSTE position statements, there are different sections, and we're talking about what's in section 6C of the position statements. And typically, there's a little thing in there that says, before this, it has all the history of why you should do it, and then it says what the rules are for when something should be reported, and then there's a little section that says disease-specific data elements, which is in addition to the regular data elements, which presumably are what's in the EICR now. In the disease-specific data elements, there's usually a bunch of concepts listed there, and this is one example. And this is an example of a case report. It's the same one you guys just showed, so that's great. So in the in a case report that's being expected to be used now, there's actually quite a bit more than what's thought of as the very basic information. And you guys actually showed, it's so funny, the parallel between what we're doing. It was HIV tested during the visit, and what's the site of the infection? That's something that needs some transformation, and you just discussed all that, so thank you. Here's the use case diagram that's pulled out of the EICR document, and many of you were in the room yesterday, so I don't want to go into a lot of detail, except to just point out that there's a process of capturing the information in the clinical setting, and then if it looks like there's, if the filtering or triggering, but the trigger codes that filter all the stuff that's being saved in a day decides that, yeah, this might be something of interest that needs to be evaluated, it will generate an EICR, which would be something that would then be sent over. The design is to be sent over to a decision support engine to determine if it actually should be reported, and if the answer is yes, then this EICR document would be sent over to public health. So that's the initial case report. There's also in this use case diagram a scenario where, yes, it should be reported. It goes back to the clinical setting, and it says, and then it could potentially generate a follow-up form. And so there's sort of the idea that there might be the initial information and then some kind of follow-up information. So in the EICR is, you explained this a little bit, but the EICR, just like a CCD, both of them are based on the CDA, which is a clinical document architecture. And the CDA has is a standard structure that has a header which has all the patient name and whatnot and the sending facility, and then it has a body, and that body has sections in it, and then it has templates in it. And the templates, I love the analogy Rita introduced me to yesterday, which think of the CDA as a grocery store, and you have an aisle for medications, and there's a shelf for medications administered and a shelf for medications prescribed. And if the shelf doesn't exist in the grocery store, that information isn't going to be in the CDA. So the EICR doesn't have a shelf for administered for medications prescribed yet, but it could be added. So there's a shelf for all the, a shelf for encounter information, an aisle for encounter information, an aisle for is there an aisle for travel history? You know, that idea. So, and we were, there's sort of all sorts of different sections. The different aisles in the grocery store are, there's an encounter, history of present illness, medications, immunizations, problems, reason for visit, results, which includes laboratory and radiology results and whatnot, social history, and then there's an extra section of stuff that was added because we're talking about a case report that's different from a clinical kind of a document. By the way, well, never mind, I won't go into that. It's more complicated than you'd think. You know, it's not really a grocery store with aisles and shelves. But but there's sections and they've got observations and it's modeled in such a way that it has other information that's useful. So the content in the initial case report is used to do two things that are really important. One of them is to prioritize the public health response. If the health department finds out at 4 o'clock on a Friday that a baby has, looks like it's got meningococcal meningitis, but they get a record and it says that they've, the family's been treated and blah, 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 and they know who they are, and then they may not need to send the forces out that minute. They can, whatever. That wasn't quite the right analogy, but basically the information can help the department prioritize the response. It also can be used to, like I said before, drive CDSs to determine whether something should be reported. So the objectives of our analysis were to compare information to be available in the EICR with information requested in disease-specific CSTE position statements, and to identify gaps and requirements for enhancing the EICR content and potentially for developing the supplemental case report. So first off, we had the fun job of reviewing all the position statements for reportable conditions. We excluded cancer and animal rabies, and then we excluded 11 position statements that had no disease-specific elements listed in that section. So we had a final set of 58 position statements, and we picked the most current one for a particular condition. Then we did a couple of steps. The first thing we did was we decomposed the data elements into concepts as much as we could. For example, when it said contact with animal, date and type, that was actually content with animal on what date and content with animal what type of content. And then we grouped semantically identical concepts where it said birthplace and country of origin. We put those together and pregnancy or diabetes and diabetic. And then we classified all these concepts into sort of general categories. The two categories were the core things, demographics, parent, guardian, encounter, clinical lab, treatment, outcome, which is pretty much what is included, you see, in the CDA stuff now. And then there was the concepts related to history information, history of epi risk factors, travel, sexual history, food, history, occupation, history, immunizations, and then there were some elements that are clearly not going to be something a clinical system would know. It's what the public health would say after it was done. Then we reviewed the EICR specifications published just like a week ago. So yeah, we did this all last week. not all of it. We did the first half to get the abstract in, knowing that. And then we determined what data is going to be represented in the available templates. So there's a whole bunch of templates available, and you don't really need to see the fine print, but basically there's a template for problems, and there's a template all the way down to pregnancy observation and everything in between. So we identified the slots that could hold the requested data elements, and then we identified what template they assigned to. And then we basically took each data element and we said whether it was directly supported, whether it could be inferred, or whether it was missing. So in the 69 position statements that we looked at, the nose had no disease elements in that section. So basically, the yeses are the ones that we reviewed. The bottom line is every disease category had, we analyzed some of the disease-specific data elements in the 58. And we ended up with 459 partially harmonized data elements. We had 163 that we would say are core data elements, things that are like demographics and lab and whatnot. And then about two-thirds of them were history-related data elements, which isn't surprising because this was supposed to be the additional ones. And then we just had one element that basically said, is it confirmed, probable, or suspected, which really the health department figures out, not the clinical setting. So among the core data elements that were extracted, they fell into these different categories. And so we have the category listed. And then the second column is the number or the percent of the total. So basically there were 8 demographic and 3 parent guardian. There were 89 clinical and then a 42 lab and whatnot. And then the percent of elements that are missing a slot in the EICR, that's kind of what's most important. So in demographic, for example, 13 sounds dramatic, but really it was just one element that was missing, one of the 8. It was county. I mean, all the other stuff was there, but county actually may be an important thing. It's not that a person or a system, that a clinician should document what county, but it would be nice if either county somehow has to get established either at the health department after it's received in or as it goes in. So that's one element that actually doesn't have a slot for it in the EICR. For the most part, all of the other elements were fairly well handled, and we'll go into some details in a minute. With respect to the history-related information, the 297 elements that we found, immunization information is well captured. All the stuff that was requested has a slot, has a shelf in the grocery store for all the immunization info, either directly or inferred. But occupational history, about three-quarters of the elements are not don't have a place to put them. And then all the other stuff doesn't yet have a place to put the content that is actually being requested, that was defined in the position statements. So this is an example of the clinical information, and I'm just showing you this is well represented. People wanted to know, onset dates, symptoms, and date of death, and whether someone was pregnant. This stuff is all good. But it's good in that it is there, but it means that you need the transformation. So you're either, before with a case report form, piece of paper, you were making the clinician make the transformation for you. Now with this XML file, you're capturing in the XML file the information that's stored in the electronic health record, but now you're going to have to do the transformation. That's what Rita was talking about. You're going to have to take that medication, which is erythromycin, 250 milligrams IM, blah, 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 or whatever it is, and check a box that says, yes, they were treated. That the system doesn't know that until you write logic on your side that it's fills that box. So immunization, this is an example where most of the stuff has a slot, but some stuff needs to be inferred, like one of the said, whether a dose of Tdap vaccine was given to a patient greater than 10 years of age. This the system would have to infer, but that's no problem, really. I mean, so travel history, it's so funny. You're just right on. So there was a lot of stuff, where people were in, and we didn't even harmonize this nearly to the level that it could be, but, lots of stuff with different dates and same questions, but different dates, different incubation periods and whatnot, and all that could be handled in a much more elegant way. And right now there's not a slot for it. And so there's a need to model that information. And I can imagine using a knowledge-based system to, you could say if it's this disease, then you want to ask this question for this incubation period, because we know what the incubation periods are for different diseases, and that could easily drive different ways of capturing the information. Same with maternal history. This was fascinating. Maternal history, there were many questions about needing information about a mother in the record. And this is a challenge, but it isn't impossible. It depends on when this information needs to be captured. If it is in conjunction with the birth information, like during birth reporting, the system already is linking those two together, so that's actually very feasible. If it's not at that point in time when the record is so tightly linked, then it would be difficult, if not impossible, to get maternal information in a baby record or a person record. So to summarize, the EICR implementation guide identifies a core set of 41 data elements for inclusion in the initial report to public health. The CSC position statements collectively identified 459 partially harmonized elements of interest to public health, and we wonder where to map them to the EICRIG. So the remaining elements, the question would be, the remaining elements can either be derived or inferred from the elements, or are missing and should be added, are missing and are not available in the EHR, or are too ambitious or general to be mapped as indicated in the position statements. So I think what needs to be addressed is, what is our strategy for handling the additional elements? I think it would be good to complete the harmonization of the like elements, similar to what you already did for the travel history, and then you could include the ones that are representable in the EICR in the next release, potentially. Convene a work group to clarify the ambiguous and general ones. You could identify elements to be requested in that follow-up report. And similar to the birth talk that I just gave an hour ago, there's some questions that could be directly asked to somebody, potentially during the clinical visit. You shouldn't expect the electronic health record to capture everything. And then also determine a mechanism for managing the additional elements per condition and how that would happen. So we could use this work to inform the next steps for case reporting and potentially integrating these concepts into the form manager paradigm. Thank you. Any questions?
Good. I think one of the objectives with the EICR, and I could be wrong, was to identify things that are already structured in these health records.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering how many of the missing questions are not in a structured component of the electronic health record, but might be buried in, say, notes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so calling them missing, to me, is maybe not the best way to address it. And adding it to the EICR, if it's not available, maybe is not the best way.
Right. Yeah. No, I guess by missing, I just mean that there isn't a structured spot to put it in the EICR. But I don't mean that they should be put in the EICR. That was actually the what this is all about, that we need to further evaluate what should be and could be represented. Yeah. Go ahead.
Erin Holt, Tennessee. So it sounds like you've done quite a bit of work in a very short period of time, and it would probably be great if maybe some of this information could help inform some comments on the EICR DSTU or STU implementation
mm-hmm.
guide.
Yeah, no, we'd be happy to. Thank you.